Hi everyone, my name is Pietro and welcome to Travel Time and Talk, a podcast dedicated to travel, tourism and hospitality industry, as well as dedicated to all professional people working and living even abroad in a new country, new destination, having new life experiences. So we're gonna meet different people, we have a friendly conversation talk. So if you are a lover of the travel tourism industry as much as I do, please stay connected with the Travel Time and Talk. And if you like what you see or listening through our podcast or YouTube channel, please consider to subscribe our channel. We will be very happy to keep connection with the world of travel and tourism, sharing our enthusiasm and motivation. So stay tuned, I will be back shortly. Hi everyone, and welcome back on Travel Time and Talk, Destination Africa. If you are a lover of Africa as much as I do, please stay connected because we are going to meet today a young woman. She's Madame Africa. She quit her job and she wrote also a book about Africa, and she went to travel all over Africa for 5 years. And so she will share with all of us here today her story, her expertise, her knowledge about this such incredible destination. Moreover, she will show her passion for Africa. Hi, my name is Pietro, and if it's your first time you came across my channel, my podcast, actually here we are talking about travel and tourism, hospitality industry, moreover about slow travel, travel mindset, interview, talk with professional people involved in industry, living and working abroad in different countries as well. So please, if you are a lover of this world, stay tuned. I will be back shortly. Friends, we are here again. As I told you, we have a special guest, Miss Rato Lerato, known as Madame Africa. Rao, welcome on Travel Time and Talk.
Hi, ciao, how are you?
Fantastic. I'm very excited to meet you because, you know, I came across your pages, those pages, instantaneously, the African vibe come out again, you know. As you know, I am a lover of Africa, and I'm very happy to talk with you. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, it's a pleasure. Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yes, at the moment you are in Africa.
Yes, I'm in Johannesburg, my hometown.
How is the weather?
It's been very hot, and also with lots of thunder showers, which is great. I love Joburg when we have what we call the Highveld storms.
Wow, fantastic. So we have to talk about something very interesting. I know you are very, very busy. Once again, thank you. But in the meantime, can you bring back us through your passion, your life, your, you know, path, your walks? Actually, we are very happy to hear you. Tell whatever you want.
Absolutely. I always say this about myself. I'm from Pretoria in South Africa. And, you know, it is a very colorful place. People are very expressive. We have our own language. We are known for our humor. But what people don't like saying is that it is also not one of the most beautiful places in the world. So for me, as soon as I could leave, I left. And it's been a case of living in a life of movement, wanting to explore, always believing that the world is bigger than what's around my corner. You know, whether being around my corner means that I recognize that I can't be born, live and die in Pretoria, then moving to a different city, creating a life there, and then realizing, oh, but you know, that scope of expanding on a life of movement can always go bigger than whatever it is that I think it is. So like, for instance, when I'm traveling, I've been to more than 30 countries in Africa now. And every time I get to a new place or I return to a favorite place, I'm satisfied. I'm like, yes, new experience, you know, different encounter with an old favorite. On the other hand, I'm like, dude, the world is so much bigger than what's around, you know? So anyway, where to next? Because I love that sense of adventure that travel gives me. I believe that for me, out of everything else in life that could be an anchor, for me, it has become traveling and travel, because it speaks to the best parts of me. I'm very restless. I don't necessarily like being still. I don't have the most famous concentration, you know, in the world. So, you know, traveling, everything is new all the time, and you're always going with the flow, and you just always, in a sense, loosened up. You know that saying that baffles me so much? People always say, dress for the job you want.
Yes, yes.
And I always find that so weird, because I'm like, very interesting. I really want to be comfortable and barefoot and wearing my loose big dresses and enjoying myself. And I think a big part of that comes from my life of travel. It relaxes you. You can't travel and live on the ground with new people, with different communities, make all these connections that are so intense. And your biggest priority in your human encounters is, is Pietro dressed for the job he wants?
Yeah. Right? Yes. Wow. What's opening? Actually, we are talking with a young woman here that quit her job to travel for 5 years, actually moving all around Africa. Can you tell that story? What's happening in your mind? Why Africa?
It's deeply personal, and it has so many layers. I love this continent. I really do love this continent. I feel it in my heart. I feel it in my heartbeat. I feel it in myself. I love Africa. And I love it particularly because there is also something radical about loving a continent that is defined through stereotypes, that is defined through negativity, right? So in other words, when you are defined by that negativity and cliches, because any definition of Africa inevitably becomes a definition of me, right? So to be defined by that and insist from the get-go that no, that is not my story, that is not our story, because I live in this continent and I live with our communities and people, and this is not, we are way more than the stereotypes of war, of death, of disease, right, of poverty and so on. And then another one was that I'm very curious about history and heritage, and I think a big part of that is that, you know, sometimes the best parts of your childhood will stand out, and also the most influential parts of your childhood will stand out. And for me, one of those is when I was 8 or 9 years old at school, and we were taught about ancient Egypt, and I was like, what? Not only is the world big, not only does the world have 7 continents and all these countries, it also is so old that other worlds existed prior, and other worlds prior to those ancient worlds. I want to know this world, okay. Right? And it's a bonus to be, of course, to one that being in Africa, Africa has a lot of heritage, a lot. You know, you have Timbuktu in Mali and Fez in Morocco. Fez in Morocco is home to the oldest university in the world, founded by a woman who used her inheritance from her father. You have Timbuktu, some of the first universities in the world were in Timbuktu. You have the dye pits in Kano, Nigeria. You know, you have a wealth of festivals of contemporary life and culture as well, like vibrant cities that are, you've been here, you know, vibrant cities that have this great get up and go energy. You smell that sense of development, that spirit of a city in the making, a people on the go, right? You almost can touch it and feel it. In fact, if you go to Nairobi,
oh yeah,
and you focus exclusively on that, where you are, you're not engaging with it beyond any other way, like, am I lost? You know, where am I? Oopsie, I need that. Too many people know. If you just engage with it purely as an energy, you feel it, right? You feel it pulsating through you. And yo, imagine missing out on that by not traveling Africa. Could never be me.
Nairobi. So really gives you such vibe, such energy. Just breathing the fresh air and the walking on the street, you can feel it, that in Nairobi, in the town, in the city, actually. Mm. Obviously, we are talking about a huge continent, Africa. We can talk for hours, actually, but it's not so easy. And then one day you decided, okay, I have to go. And you quit your job, and you actually spend 5 years moving up and down, right and left, to Africa. Wow. And then obviously you came in the point to you know, share your passion, your feeling. And so you wrote a book, actually, named Vagabond, actually, right? Can you give some insight? I mean, I know already that the book is really, I mean, it gives you one authentic picture, authentic frame of Africa. I mean, you wrote a book bringing the people into real fact, real story behind the scenes, you know, over than a narrative, you know, description. I mean, this is really, can you share something? Wow.
You know what happened when when you always want to travel, but you never really get around to doing it. So I'd want to travel. I'd want to go to some places with my friends, entertain it, talk about it, but maybe not go. Because I used to have this misconception in my head that traveling is inaccessible. And that, you know, oftentimes, I think even now with influencer culture, oftentimes you see travel as luxury, as high end, right? And then you miss a lot of the whole travel as movement, travel as me just getting into a bus from Pretoria, South Africa, to Maputo in Mozambique and staying at a backpackers or an Airbnb, right? So we miss those that part of it. And that accessible, more accessible and more real part of it, that is for me what speaks to a majority of people. So majority of people can't afford to travel, period. We know that it's a privilege in itself, right? But then also when you think of economic factors, so for instance in South Africa, Black women, and this is a fact, Black women earn less than everyone else on the pay scale, right? Because you know, pay scales are genderized, they're racialized, right?
Yeah.
So then if I, as a Black South African woman, considering my economic realities and dynamics, right, that influence what I earn, what is in my money, because we travel with what's in our, with what's in our pocket. So you see, if I associate travel with just luxury, I'm always going to think that it excludes me, that I can't experience it. But when I start seeing it as movement, and that we are connected, destinations and people are connected beyond just first class, beyond business, you know, trips, beyond all those things. In fact, beyond the experiences that I used to have when I was working as a lifestyle journalist, right? Because I used to have that. I used to sleep in penthouses, review things and be like, one night here is more than my salary. It's, you know, it's nice to experience, but it's not necessarily that accessible. So for me, I first had to get over that idea that traveling is inaccessible and expensive. Yes, there are expensive experiences within travel, but it is accessible. And then another one, excuse me, was to realize that also I needed to find my own way of traveling.
Okay.
That would make it feel authentic to me. Mm. So one way that is very authentic to me is actually being a slow traveler. It's immersing myself in experiences that I do, and it's trying to avoid as much as possible of what feels a lot like a simulation of my life in Johannesburg. So for instance, if I'm somewhere and this has happened, if I'm in a city somewhere and two people offer me a place to stay, one of them says, oh, come stay at my gorgeous city apartment while I'm away, that's everything you need, right? That's like amazing comfort. But then I meet someone else who just says, come and, you know, share a bed with me. I live with my housemate and we live regular. I'd be like, in fact, that's where I want to go, because I want to connect with Africa in particular as a home, and I want that to be all encompassing. So I'm not saying that I don't include luxury, I don't include all the soft things, the hashtag goals, the hashtag Instagram. I love all of it. But what sets my soul on fire and the reason I travel and what I always center in my travels is that sense of ease and access, and just understanding that, you know, sometimes movement, particularly travel, because a lot of people desire to, but not that many get to really do it. But ultimately, there's something about it that's also just another decision. Just another decision, deciding, okay, I want to travel. How do I want to do it and how can I do it? So I'm very passionate.
I can understand you totally. I mean, I am a traveler too, slow traveler. Mm. And you mentioning actually those words, that attracting me, obviously, connecting, mm. connection. I mean, when we talk about the connection, we're talking about human relation, human, you know, with mm. humans. I mean, is the opportunity to go behind, you know, the story behind the land itself, you know. So you need to be also ready, open for that. I mean, that's why I'm agree with your last sentence. I mean, when you say, I mean, regarding the reason why you want to travel in that way, why you looking for that actually. So is inside of you. We look inside ourselves and, you know, straight away we are pushed in that other way, you know, because it's one consequential reaction actually coming from our soul, our real motivation is clear. It's really interesting. Also, your talk about luxury traveling. I mean, you know both sides actually. So your vision is related both sides, and then you already understood where to walk actually in your path. And this is good. Already coming from some knowledge, general knowledge of travel and tourism and hospitality too. By the way, also there is you know. Especially in this time, I mean, nowadays, I mean, after all last couple of years, people start to talk about, you know, let's say luxury slow traveling. I mean, they try also to combine. It's a different, you know, it's different way. So people can find in your book story, those experience actually. Can you share some fact, something that happened in your way that really left a huge impact on your life? Some, you know, anything you can share with us to your walk around the corner of Africa tell us those name of those countries.
Yes. It starts with in Abidjan, Ivory Coast. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I've been traveling for June, July, August, September, October, November, December. So I've been traveling for like 7 months. And I'm just tired, right? And I'm weary and I'm broke. And I feel like, I could just go back to South Africa for like just a few months and like gather myself and maybe save some money again, because I was working as a freelance journalist, and then, you know, top up my travel kitty and then get back on the road. So, and then I'm thinking through all of this. As I'm thinking through it, I start playing my favorite album by my favorite musician. So this is my favorite musician album, Banan, Habib Kwate's album, Afriki.
And, say again the name.
Habib Kwate, the album is called Afriki.
Okay.
And what I love about it is that it just always evokes a sense of farawayness, you know, like my mind imagines deserts and vast open spaces, big, beautiful skies, blue skies, you know, just that sense of going away and being transported physically and in every other way to a very, very different place that I only thought, you know, that I only imagined as a dot on the map, right? And then as I'm playing to it, I'm like, you know, no, I'm not going. I'm not leaving. What I'll do is I'll start over. And then the next day, so then I thought to myself, if I'm starting over, how am I starting over? Then I'm like, oh, I'm going to Timbuktu because Habib Kwate was going to headline Festival of the Desert. So when I went to the embassy in Mali, and this is the gift, this is still the greatest gift of my life. It will always be the greatest gift of my life. When I went to apply for a visa, I was only applying for a 2-month visa, and the lady who was working at the Malian embassy at the time said to me, 2 months is so random. Why don't you stay longer? And I said, well, because to be honest with you, I'm kind of like a seriously budget traveler, so I can't stay too long, right? Because it costs me money, so it might as well cost me money in a new country. So I'm just going to Mali for 2 months and I'm leaving. So she says to me, so what happens if I give you 4 months on the house? So you end up having a 6-month visa to Mali, you only pay for 2 months, and but the condition is that you stay there for those 6 months. Wow. Now, bear in mind, we have never met. We can talk all we want. We will never encounter each other again. Particularly in my case, my word doesn't mean to carry anything. She'll never know if I stayed there for 6 months or if I didn't. You know what I mean?
Wow.
But I stayed for 7 months, I even think. I stayed for 6 months. And in those 6 months, what ended up happening was that then I became a different kind of traveler. I found my groove as a traveler. You know, we all go, the world is big, but it's also very small. There's only so many places you can go to, you discover things and whatnot. But what really stands out is the experience that you create for yourself as you travel, right? So for me, that experience fully became authentic and self-defined, and stopped being really focused more on just ticking boxes, getting to a place, seeing things. And it just became about slowing down, really slowing down. I learned French. I picked up French. People were teaching me French in Mali. You know, I started learning how to dance, doing the traditional dances of Mali, which in turn, my favorite saying is that journeys create journeys, internal and external. So because I was learning traditional dances in Mali, I was now became curious in the traditional dances of Guinea. So that journey created another journey of going to Guinea-Conakry and learning these traditional dances, right? And that the reason that stands out is that above everything else, and there's a lot that you will encounter in Mali that is so beautiful and graceful and gracious, nothing beats the way Malian people love. It is so pure, so pure.
Wow.
It comes from their hearts. It, you know, In my book, when I write about it, I say that the way that to be loved in a way that Malians love is a gift for the soul. And you know what? You know what it takes to experience that love? Just showing up. You don't earn it. You're not a bestie. No one knows you. No one wants nothing from you. You are just a human being, and you are held and embraced with love. Yo, that is life changing.
Well, thank you for sharing such a powerful story. Obviously, situation straight away changed your mind, I believe, because it's something such touching your soul, your mind, actually, that keep driving you already in that way, pushing you to discovering more and to embrace actually more slowly. And that is actually something really important from a slow traveler perspective. You mentioned about traditional dance, languages. And once again, all is about the people. But moreover, perhaps that lady which you met in the embassy, she was that one, she read in your eyes, actually. She understood behind your face, you know, behind your eyes, your spirit. So sometimes we really need to be lucky to find, right people that in some way can support our path, you know, can give a chance, an opportunity. So she was a really important person in that moment of your life.
Absolutely.
Wow, fantastic. It's really a great story. We came across, actually I came across on your page because I saw your insert about one special place for me in Africa. As already we talk about, as I come from one of the most recent travel in Africa, and I'm talking about Sao Tome and Principe, actually. And I know also you have been there, and something really special. And also I want to talk about with you, as you have been there as well. What do you think about?
Yes. Sorry, my pot was dead.
Oh, fantastic, beautiful. Beautiful. By the way, I can record better.
Okay.
Today is a celebration for all great women all over the world. You are one of them. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Simple, international party or, celebrating food, restaurant or, something like that. But in the spirit of, between legend and story, but yes. We really like to celebrate such important women. Today you are one of them. So I'm very happy we came across today on this, for this chat, for this talk.
Thank you, Pietro.
Thank you. Come back on the point of Sao Tome.
Yes.
I left my heart there and,
Same here. We should go back. We should meet in Sao Tome.
Yeah, sure. Definitely. Oh. We can talk on this because there is idea and some vision, the vision, So actually everything we talk about before, something that left a huge impact on your life. Mm. So that was for me, Sao Tome left a huge impact on my life and travel mindset, so that's why. What do you think?
Wow, it's incredible. Sao Tome is love. If I could pick a word for Sao Tome and use a word to describe it and try and paint to people the picture and the feeling of being there, it is love. From when you arrive at the airport, it's very small. So I love small airports. Everyone is very friendly,
yes,
very helpful. It's a very small country, very small city, very small place. So people are very closely connected, right?
Yes.
So people just go to a stranger, oh, hi, she's looking for a car to town, just help her, something like that. It's very easy. And then it's very, very beautiful. One of the most beautiful places I've ever seen.
Yes.
Every time.
Wow.
Like, exactly. Every time you see something, you're like, wow. Wow. Every time the car bends a corner, wow. When you twist and bend another corner, wow. When you get to the next town, wow. When you
look at people,
you can't stop wowing. It is amazing. And you do that for the natural beauty, for the friendliness of the people, the ease of the people. São Tomé is a Portuguese-speaking place. It's a Portuguese-speaking country. Sure. But, you know, I found that language was not a barrier. And people did not necessarily speak English.
Yes.
But language was not a barrier. It was in that, again, the connection. My favorite one is... when I was in Moropesh, I went to Moropesh and I really felt drawn to it. So what happened was that I went there just as part of an excursion to swim with dolphins, and then I felt very drawn to it. And then subsequently, I changed my flight. I was supposed to leave São Tomé in the beginning of August. I changed to leave at the end of August. And then the first thing I did was to go back to Moropesh. And now I wanted to interact. And people spoke Portuguese. I don't speak Portuguese. And it was very hard to connect through language, completely hard. But someone who knew me from the hotel started walking with me. He saw me somewhere by the beach and started walking with me. And we just walked and we just walked. We didn't understand each other. We couldn't speak. And the reason, a big part of why he took me on a walk was that there's a part as you're walking where the breeze just hits you like this from the ocean. Like, it's very hot, but when you get to that part, there's a breeze. And when we got there, he was like, oh, yes. He was so happy. And he wanted to take me to his happy place. Imagine. Yes,
sure, sure.
And we just walked, and there was a beautiful sunset, and they were meeting incredible people along the way, connecting, making new friends. I really love South Tomé. It's so pure, you know. The world is a fast-moving place, which is great. You know, we're very globalized. We like a global community, which is great. But then also it means that we might share certain characteristics that are not necessarily always amazing. So, for instance, maybe a culture of not greeting, or maybe that's just an American thing, you know, or certain things. But, like, you know, where we also feel that we know the world because we consume the world in the news, on media, entertainment, and so on. São Tomé is a mystery. You know, you don't know it unless you go and seek it.
Exactly, exactly. This is a thank you for your sharing, your feeling on that. Actually, I'm completely agree. It's something really unique and with a kind of slowness, you know, really brings you in, gives you the chance to be in, you know. So it's beautiful, good food as well. Obviously, we are talking about good food too, you know. I was quite lucky to have a stop also in Angolares, actually. Yes. Roca, São João.
Yes, Rosa São João.
João.
Dos Angolares.
Exactly.
Yes. Chef Carlos,
really,
no?
Really good. Yes, fantastic. So how much we have to say, to describe such authentic, one more time, I can understand your book and the authenticity, the genuinity from your book, because obviously, moving around Africa and, you know, meeting those people, those corner of lands, you know, this means really to have a full immersion in such a natural environment and with all surrounding, with all coming from that environment that still is natural, still is genuine, still is authentic. And so obviously you have to write about it. And
no, absolutely. Absolutely. I wanted to ask you what for you, yes, with São Tomé, you know, what is I'm sure there's so many moments, but can you just tell me about some of those moments and you just went
Yeah, once again, I'm mentioning that area of São Tomé, and as you know, the weather in São Tomé, I mean, it's you can have rain, you know, almost all around here, you know, but there is just a few months without raining, let's say, big rain. Mm. But I meet those local people, those local families with the kids, and I lived with them, you know, walking around the town with them, and with the raining, without shoes, you know, with the kids playing and helping them to prepare the food, going into the market or in the corner, you know, looking for fresh fruit, you know, and obviously sharing on culture, you know, and mixing all those, and you know, without wearing a European dress, you know, European mindset, nationality, as a traveler, obviously keep sharing my passion, and you know, I can't forget lovely faces, smiling faces of those kids, you know. Also, it was very important for me to live that community tourism, living as like a local in the village,
with
no light, with you know, no, let's say, kind of regular electricity, with willing
to
stay without internet in some moment, some time.
Yeah, yes.
And the people, is something really important. I agree with you. Is
it's a really special place.
And the whole scenario, driving the car, reaching Isla Rolas, went to the Ecuador line, you know, too. So walking, moving with the car, and reaching and the south of the south, as you know. But keep talking about your experience. I have a question related last couple of years. I mean, a person as you are, a traveler, active person, very passionate about travel, how you can jump across last couple of years?
It's very tough. It was very, very tough. Remember, South Africa had one of the strictest lockdowns in the world. Didn't Italy also have a very strict lockdown?
Oh, yeah, really? Too.
You know, and you take away, you really take for granted the freedom to just go down the street, go out, go do, drink with friends, eat with friends, go visit, you know, and then of course to travel. So it was very hard. We were in hard lockdown, March, April, May, June, July, August, 6 months of hard lockdown. We could not travel outside of the province. We could not even go visit other people. You know, it was really hardcore, and traveling saved me. And I don't like turning destinations into a savior. I don't want to be like a mess or be like, you know, needing to be saved and healed by destinations. Because then I feel like it's a bit too much pressure. Then they must be miraculous and deliver something more than what they are, right? And which is that you arrive at blank canvas, and the country, the experience writes itself on you, than arrive as a prerequisite, I need healing from a place, therefore that's why I'm here. For me, that's not how I really want to connect with places, but I recognize that they do in fact heal.
Okay.
And how I discovered this was COVID, because every day for 6 months, I would wake up and pretend I was back in Cairo. I would talk about all the places in Cairo that I would visit. I would describe the taste of the thick Turkish coffee that I would have every morning, where I would stay, everything planned out, what I would wear, everything. And I was just waiting for South African borders to finally be open.
Yeah.
So they were open in September, I think, or international travel started in November, in October, I don't remember, but in the middle of November, I went to Egypt for 2.5 months. And then I went to Tunisia, and then I went to Gabon, and then I went to
São
Tomé. And I just chose, in those 6 months, I made the decision, I'm you know, I initially thought I would not travel for as long as the world was grappling with COVID. And after those, within those 6 months, I was like, there is no way I'm letting go of travel. Like, it just cannot go, because without an adventure to look forward to, without an adventure to plan, without something new to experience, to imagine, to bring into life, you know, that satisfying feeling of dreaming about a place
for so
long and you finally get there. Yo, it's the biggest, the best high there is. And I could not live without it. I don't want to live without it. For me, the whole point of being alive is because I get to travel. So lockdown was quite an unraveling experience for me. I even, you know, when you like, you sometimes you get so busy, you don't really sit down with yourself and experiences and heal yourself and whatnot, and anxieties and like everything. That was just me having shoved it under the an emotional carpet. It all came crashing out as we speak. I mean, therapy addressing traumatic childhood. Listen, when I say lockdown unraveled me, I'm not exaggerating. And therefore, as always, the road became the anchor, the road became the affirmation. People were dying, so sad, losing friends, you know, so heartbreaking.
But
the road became my Africa, became my anchor. Africa reminded me that there is.
Wow, I want to be right now in Africa. I want to be there.
Come back, let's go to South America.
Yes, I mean, it's clearly the passion, the belief, the creed, actually, that can help us during last month, let's say, last few months. And now, finally, we can keep walking to our vision. Moreover, the vision, it's really something important. Keep believing in your vision, in your dream. Keep dreaming higher. I mean, and you are a dreamer, sure. You are a high dreamer, absolutely. I am dreaming with you right now, and hope also our listener or people which are watching on YouTube as well. I know you are very busy, and you are also looking around, moving around the corner in your house. Beautiful house, very beautiful, by the way.
Thank you. I had stew on the stove, but don't worry, now I switched it off.
Okay, don't worry. I saw also a sort of a palm there inside a garden, little garden, little green there. That is really a therapeutical, you know, corner in your own house, as we know. Just I want to ask you, from the top of your expertise, what do you suggest for those that would love to travel in Africa? How can they prepare their travel to Africa? You know, there is something special.
You
want to advise them with something special, some idea,
absolutely,
some places, documentation, etc.
Yes, my advice is firstly, know that you're coming to a very hospitable continent where people will chase you down the street to invite you home to have a meal. You cannot be irritated by people. You cannot want to exist away from, if you want a travel experience that's like a holiday where it's just you and only people who work in a hotel, find a resort. But if you're going to be out and about mingling and on the ground, just know everyone is going to make an instant friend of you. And it is what it is. Don't be weird about it. Don't be like, oh, I'm not going to speak to people and all those things. It's like very weird. And the reason it's weird is that when you're a traveler, you're always a foreigner. You always never know. So you're always asking someone to stop their time and give it to provide you with information. So you can't want people to stop and give you time and information and, you know, have an encounter that is defined through your reason for the interaction, and then want to take away from people, want their own curiosity about you, who you are, where are you from, where are you going, how are you loving this place? Oh my God, have you tried eating here? Have you tried listening to this music? Oh, you're going to a club, you're going to an art gallery.
Okay.
Listen, there's another one that I know, there's actually an exhibition, like this is a continent of connections and human beings relating. my God, in some places, greetings here can last 30 minutes, you know, for real. So you really just understand that. Another one is, enjoy yourself. You will never have an adventure quite like Africa, no matter where in the world you go, no matter what you do. This continent is so richly layered, so textured. It has so much culture, vibrancy, so much color, so cosmopolitan, afropolitan. Always, you know, if you're in one country, you can still experience the cultures of different places. Like, for instance, if you're in Ivory Coast, in Abidjan, the food is from all of Francophone West Africa. So you might as well be eating Senegal, be eating Mali, be eating Guinea, and you're meeting people from these countries as well. There's a continent of movement. We migrate, and our migration is not just to Europe. In fact, a big part of our migration is within the continent. So no one country is untouched by the influences of other cultures and other people in there in a very beautiful and vibrant way. We love to party. My gosh, I mean, we love to party. West Africa by night is epic. And also, look for the right information. Empower yourself with information that makes traveling your trip easy. So for instance, when I was going to travel on my very first travels in 2008, when I went to Dakar to start my adventure, I was a little freaked out because the travel guide that I read said I needed to like vaccinate for so many things, right? And then time and experience and actually speaking to a different travel doctor, I was like, Jesus, it literally needed to be rabies, cholera, and yellow fever. Like, you know, like it wasn't 30 things. It was like 4 things that everyone sort of needs to have when they're going to certain places. And that is not just only in Africa. So make sure that your interest in traveling Africa is supported by finding content that shows you and stories that show you that you are on the right path. Because otherwise you're going to keep finding things that feed stereotypes. You know, one of the things that upsets me so much is something that I read, and it said that when you're going to Cairo, don't speak to people. Everyone always wants to talk to you.
Yeah.
So rather don't talk to people, wait for the tour guide to initiate the conversation. I mean, you know, that is like nonsense if we're being honest. And you know, it's your trip and it's your money, it's your time, but you're also being a weird human being about this. And check yourself. So I think just come, have fun, have an open mind, have an open heart. And you know what? Leave a lot of room, a lot, for the journey to write its own experiences, because those moments are not the reasons why you book your ticket, right? They are not the reasons why you book your ticket, but they will be the reason why years later
you
look back and say, yo, I left my heart there, and you won't be lying.
Sure, thank you. Very beautiful words, especially last couple of sentences are very, very touching. I mean, from a traveler perspective and in terms of learning and discovery, really, it's important. And we have to you know, connect in the same time, really be attentive, you know, to our connection, but keep our freedom. That let us immersing through the destination behind the scenes. This is the book and something really special. Vagabond, you feel like vagabond, right?
Yes. It's
very, very important. I mean, that book actually representing yourself. We can say the book representing yourself, and where. All the people may are interesting to come across with your pages, with your story, and with your activities, where they can meet you on the web.
My website is www.vagabond.africa, And then I'm Madame Africa on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and everyone is always welcome to reach out to me. I love interacting with people. I love connecting with people from different parts of the world. So, and I love helping people travel Africa and experience their travels in a more richer way. So if you have any question at all, if you want to know anything at all, you will never bother me. If you slide into my DMs, if you send an email and you take it from there.
Wow, fantastic. Madam Africa, this is very important to remind all people out there. Actually, as usually I'm doing in the end of the podcast, I invite people to say together my slogan, my hashtag, my always action with the passion, just to make our the end. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
1, 2, 3, and we go. Always,
always action, action with passion.
Yeah. Thank you very much. It was very, very exciting.
Thank you so much.
Great to talk with you. I have still your vibration transferring into my, you know, mixing with my vibe, talking about Africa. Is something special because, you know, it's another center of the world. You know, Africa too is very important as a continent, as a country, as a people. And we are one world. We are a human being and we need to be connected and with love, in peace. And we pray for the happening of last hours. So we pray that everything will be fine. Thank you again.
And, thank you.
Please stay tuned with the Travel Time and Talk. If you are interested to go in Africa, get in touch with Madame Africa and I'm sure you will be happy. Ciao! Yeah!
Ciao!